ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
तेने ब्रह्म हृदय आदि कवये गुह्यन्ति यत् सूर्यः तेजो वारि वृथां यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसागो मृषः धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्त कुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि। This is param satyam. What is that? Janmadhya sayatah. By whom janma adi, that means srishti sthiti pralay, is a problem. Here's the translation. O my Lord Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. Now, consciousness. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations. That means we have our consciousness, small consciousness. But his consciousness, he is conscious of everything in the spiritual and the material world, directly and indirectly, from inside as the Antaryami, from outside as Mahavishnu, directly and indirectly, past, present and future, he knows everything. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature appear factual, although they are unreal. Again, coming to consciousness. We see this material universe as real. It seems to be real, but it's only due to illusion that it appears real.
It is here induced reality of our past experience.
Yeah. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. So this Srimad Bhagavatam immediately takes us beyond all speculative philosophies, directly to the point. Satyam Param. This is Vyasadev, after compiling all the Vedic literatures, after compiling Vedanta Sutra, still he was dissatisfied. Vedanta Sutra means, Ved means knowledge, and Ved, ultimately we come to Vedanta, which means the Upanishads. That gives the spiritual jnana. But still, and then he compiled Vedanta Sutra, which is the commentary or the conclusion of all the Upanishads, the knowledge given in the Upanishads. But still, Vyasadeva was dissatisfied. He felt, I didn't directly, and well, actually Narad, his guru, told him, you didn't, why are you dissatisfied? Because even though you compiled all the Vedas, and Veda means Vidya, but the ultimate point of Vidya, as Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedeshtu Sarveraham Eva Vedya. In Ved, the Vedya, or the object of knowledge, what is the ultimate object of knowledge, is Krishna. But that has not been specifically delineated in one shastra by Vyasadeva. So Srimad Bhagavatam specifically delineates Sri Krishna as Param Satya. In a scientific way, Leela is the people, they know about Krishna. Leela is the in Dasham Skanda, Bhagavad. But they don't know how much scientific philosophy is there to support all these points. It's not just some sentiment, nothing at all. Everything, all science you'll even find in Srimad Bhagavatam. What is time? We're totally measured, what is time? Time is measured by movement. So Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto gives the definition of time from the smallest unit, means the time that it takes one atom to cross another atom. That's the smallest unit of time, up to the greatest unit of time, which is the existence of the whole cosmic manifestation, based on movement. So it's a thoroughly scientific presentation of the Param Satya. And anyone who is actually philosophically inclined, they should study this. And you'll get the answers which you can never get even if you're as brilliant as Newton, Einstein, Galileo combined, they can never come up to this. Because simply by applying one's own brain, it's not possible to come up to this. There are two methods of attaining knowledge. Aroha Pantha, when one tries to go up by your own endeavor. And Avarohana, the knowledge comes down. So when the knowledge comes down, we can accept it. But if we try by our own brain power, if we're a genius, still we can't reach.
Now you are interpreting different fashions, so it gives different meaning to me now. I read it earlier, I couldn't understand the way you have told me.
Well, that's why we require someone to tell us also.
I thought it's just a narration of some events, something like that, some stories there.
No, every word here is very important. That these terms, anvaya, itara, means directly, indirectly, has very profound meaning. This can be applied in all kinds of directly and indirectly. That means Bhagavad is directly and indirectly conscious of everything.
Yes.
But this can be applied even in understanding the statements of Shastra. You see, Vyasadeva, he was not a compiler of fairy tales. Like I say, he's given the deepest philosophy, he's given science, all kinds of sciences are there in Shastra. People think Mahabharata is fairy tales, how that they fire an arrow, with one arrow they kill 10,000 people. But actually there's arrows, it's not just like some jungle Adivasis that bows and arrows. But their arrows, they were weapons powered by mantra. We don't have that science. Because that science requires purity. However expert you are in IT or writing softwares, but you can, mantra shakti depends on, again, consciousness. One who has purity, they can power these weapons. That's why these weapons are no longer there. Mahabharata war, they were not fighting with bows and arrows like Adivasis.
What do you say? Mantra is not a ritual. It has got power.
But it requires purity.
Purity.
Or there are some kind of mantras that they are powered by impurity also. But that's the in Tantra. They're powered by bhutas. And that's the opposite side. Hare Krishna. You're hiding. You're afraid I'll scold you.
I'm
good. Are you afraid I'll scold you?
No.
Thank you, Maharaj, for giving me a lot of enlightenment.
Yeah, you please. If you study this, you'll find this is actually all the books in the world, even if they're all lost, and you just kept this book.
I've got multiple volumes. Same thing.
Yeah, it's 18 volumes.
18 volumes.
So you're retired?
I'm retired from service, not from my activities.
No, a man should not retire. This idea of, that you retire and you become a vegetable, in Krishna consciousness we don't have any retirement, do we? Maybe actually, but that's for doing bhajan. Bhajan is also not for sleeping. That means to enter only into the life of bhajan. But, now, at this, definitely this phase of life, one should search for the highest goal.
Since from childhood, I used to read Veda mantras and mantras. One word, one phrase was there, that mam, this is not mine.
Yeah.
I asked everybody, I am getting all these things from my Jews, and then nobody was able to tell me.
Why? No. This is from Narayana, not from me.
Yeah.
Everything is.
But now I realize that whatever is there is for my use, not for my ownership, not for my possession.
The thing is that one has, it's not simply by reading, one has to be trained in the application of these things. Just like in science, you need someone to guide you, and then if it's going to be actually useful, you need to be trained how to apply it, how it can be practically useful. So we require training also. Usually that's done in, traditionally that's done in childhood. But in Kali Yuga, you can begin your spiritual childhood even later in life. But it requires commitment. One has to chant the holy names of Krishna. One has to follow certain principles. And one has to have some basic faith to start with.
Yes.
But that faith, that's not... you see, there's... Like I was saying yesterday, there's Lokik Shraddha and Shastriya Shraddha. So there's a difference. Lokik Shraddha, that's another term, is Andha Vishwas. We just believe because other people believe, that's all. But we haven't gone deeply into the matter. But Shastriya Vishwas, that means that we trained in the knowledge of Shastra.
So in Bhagavad Gita also it mentioned that we should apply the jnana in our life.
Yeah, everywhere. Throughout jnana vijnana triptatma, then jnana vijnana sahita. Again and again, Krishna speaks of jnana and vijnana. So in this context, vijnana means practical application.
The issue is the sort of realization that in my life, whatever jnana I can perceive, it should be applicable.
We have to chant Hare Krishna. That's required. Should we go?
Thank you.
Sorry. Jnana vijnana chittatma kutastha vijitam
viha. I have taken enough of your time.
Your time is made to be. Can this be used for that? The what?
CVV number. The security code number, which is
Thank you for the time. So what do we do?
We need to switch it off.